I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer, and today is the longest day of my life.
Welcome back to the Bauer Hour podcast. This is episode 4. My name is Ty. I'm joined on my right by a man. We'll just call him Drew.
Hiya.
Joined on my left, another man. We'll call him Badway.
What's going on?
And of course, we are joined by the inquisitive, by the technical, by the wonderful spirit of one
CTU Regional Division Director, Ryan Chappelle.
Ryan Chappelle took a bullet in the brain from Jack Bauer.
Classic death.
This email comes from Bizarro Tyler in Nashville, and he says, "Hey, Ty, Drew, and Badway, just listen to the first show. Awesome. Have a suggestion for future show dedication. CTU Regional Division Director, Ryan Chappelle. Yeah, he was a prick and too by the book, but damn, he gave up his life to save millions of Americans. A lot of the 24 plot shocked me, but Chappelle's execution by Jack and Palmer was arguably the biggest. He even got the silent clock treatment."
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Silent clock treatment.
Thank you, Tyler.
Silent clock treatment could be the name of a fantasy team this baseball season for sure. What I remember about Ryan Chappelle, he's right, you know, kind of a prick.
Total prick, but he's had to be.
Very by the book, a policy guy, not necessarily a people person. The lasting image I have of him, though, an unforgettable jawline and nose, sort of like out of a kid's cartoon that you see around Christmas time. The little like button nose. This sounds really weird, but that's like what I remember about Ryan Chappelle.
No, I get you. He spoke in that condescending tone always. Like he always knew the right answer, and you're wrong, and I'm right. And I mean, he was good at what he did because he was that type of boss that he was a bit of an asshole, but I mean he was doing his job very well, and you had to respect him for that.
The 24 Wiki quotes him as he assumed control and often bogged down operations with a heavily bureaucratic and inflexible style of management, which
that
I
sounds
think
about right.
Accurately describes him, I think. But I will say this: his death led the way to one of my favorite characters, Bill Buchanan.
Billy B.
So with one death comes a new life. So
that's very well stated.
Rest in peace, Ryan Chappelle.
That's beautiful.
New beginning comes from another beginning's end, as the song goes. Bill Buchanan, and we'll get into him at some point here, I'm sure, on the Bauer Hour podcast. By the way, it is BauerHour.com for those of you interested in checking out what it is we offer. Last episode, we went through foreign villains, foreign terrorists.
March Madness 2014.
In something we're calling March Madness 2014. We're going to post some polls, if we can, up on that website to get your feedback, or maybe just solicit your feedback on who you think should have won those brackets. While we're doing that, though, we must unveil the second half of the bracket, foreign versus domestic. We have another great eight domestic villains here.
Absolutely.
That we want to go through this evening and get your feedback on. We'll try and pick our favorites and then go to a grand finale. The winner of the domestic side will face off against the much maligned, the infamous one, Habib Marwan.
Powerhouse number one overall seed.
Do let us know what you think about this. Again, it's BauerHour.com. Head on out to our Twitter page. It's at BauerHourPod. Head on out to our Facebook page and like us. It is www.facebook.com/BauerHour. And, of course, if you like what we're doing, head on out to iTunes and let everyone know that you like us by giving us a 5-star rating or by, posting a review. I don't know. Should we start doing shout outs for people who give us reviews?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Sure.
We could start doing something like that to try and encourage a little feedback.
We'll give love to the love.
That's right. So, all right. We want to jump right into it. We want to talk about the next eight in our bracketing. It's March Madness. It's tournament time. It's basketball season. Everyone's fired up to pick their favorites. Who is the number one overall seed in the domestic side of the bracket?
Domestic side, bringing it to the homeland, the number one overall seed, and I think there could be little argument with this, the one, the only, President Weasel Logan
Snake.
Wow.
I can't disagree with that.
Good seeding.
President Logan consistently gave into terrorist demands as a spineless leader would do.
Kind of the opposite of what you want the president to do.
As a spineless leader is wont to do.
Is it fair to say he was the anti-David Palmer?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, they took the David Palmer character, and they were like, let's do Bizarro David Palmer.
Let's do the exact opposite. Let's go with a short, balding weasel of a president who gives in to demands, probably a Republican. I mean, not because I have anything against Republicans, but Palmer was very clearly a Democrat. Logan, a Republican.
Yeah, they painted him to be one. They did.
I mean, he was the antithesis of one David Palmer.
He put his wife in danger multiple times.
who was also, like, crazy, right? She had, like, mental issues.
Another thing, he threatened to have her committed.
I mean, that's pretty evil.
So, I mean, there's trouble in bed.
As she fell in love with Aaron Pierce.
Trouble in the Lincoln bedroom. Trouble. I mean, he enacted martial law without Congress approval. I mean, this guy...
This is what happens if you let your neighbor run the United States of America.
Yeah.
It's like your neighbor, Charles Logan, right, is running the United States of America. Oh, yeah, let's just enact martial law. That sounds like it'll fix our problems.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
Charles Logan, an all-time snake. I'm curious as to there being doubt for you, Mr. Tournament Committee, as to whether or not Logan should be the number one overall. Like, was there any doubt? Because there's another one lower on this list that we're going to get to in the 2-7 matchup.
Absolutely. I know.
A little bit of controversy, I think, could apply in this situation where you give Logan the number one seed here as opposed to, well, Nina Myers.
Right.
Right?
I mean, it was the first of our truly, like, aside from, obviously, the Ford, you know, the antagonists of Jack Bauer, the villains, as far as master plans go. I mean, Nina Myers was like, you looked at her face and you just wanted to, I mean, I don't condone violence to women, but you just wanted to smack her. She was so, so vile. But I feel like President Logan, he had a large shelf life on the show. He was in it from, what was it, season 4?
He was in 3 season finales.
He was at the end of day 3. They so day 3 formula. All the way through to day 8, and he was just consistently making horrible decisions, spineless decisions, treasonous decisions, all while in the White House and close by the White House. I mean, all the way through up to day 8. I mean, and he did a great job. I mean, the actor himself, he did a great job of playing the scumbag.
Kind
of
had that quivering lip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was able to pull that off, which is a pro acting move.
The blank stare into the camera.
You know, what was Logan's endgame at the end of the day? I've never quite been able to put a finger on that. I don't know if he wasn't like the other villains where he wanted to destroy America. That was never like the end game for him. The end game, as best I can tell, was just respect. Like, he really wanted other people to fear him.
He got picked on as a kid, possibly.
Bullied.
Yeah, bullied.
Maybe some like mommy issues.
Yeah.
There was something there where he fed off wanting the respect from other people and wanting so desperately to not be seen as weak that ultimately that was his fake.
Yeah, he was totally weak. And other than that, he didn't really have an end game, I feel. He was just flying by the seat of his pants at some points, and it's like just terrible decision after terrible decision.
I mean, at first so Keeler was wounded, right, on the Air Force One crash in day 4, and he became the president due to the 25th Amendment, right? So he was
25th Amendment.
He was totally unprepared from day 1. Like, if you were a voter, you would have not voted for that ticket because of the fact that this vice president was so inexperienced and terrible.
Probably just another casualty of the election process.
Yeah.
They hid him. You know, they only had one debate. Didn't really get a wide view of what his, I don't know, political pillars were. And now all of a sudden he's promoted to the presidency.
He was terrible. And from the very beginning, he was totally indecisive, was not, you know, fit to be the president in any way.
And then I like it, like day 6, where they just threw the beard on him.
Yeah.
Just to go full on. All right, he's a bad guy
tough
now.
Tough for Chuck Logan.
He's going to be a bad guy full blown now, so we're going to throw this beard on
Chuck Logan, things aren't going well. All right, so Logan's the number one overall. His matchup is against whom?
Old Man Bauer.
Oh!
Philip Bauer.
James Cromwell.
James Cromwell, Cromie himself. father of Jack. I mean, he had his hands in a lot of things. He was complicit in the Centaux nerve gas conspiracy. He was involved in the Russian suitcase nukes. he was in bed with China, which is like the ultimate treasonous behavior. And murdered his son, you know. That whole thing.
It wasn't working out.
Yeah. So, and one of my, when I was just perusing this list here, his death caught me by surprise. I forgot about it. He died in an airstrike, gentlemen.
On an oil rig.
That was the end of day six.
That's bonus points right there, because that's a pretty, forgot about that. It's a pretty ridiculous death.
I like James Cromwell.
He was a good actor, actually, in the show.
Just in general. I mean, James Cromwell's been around forever.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It was a good get.
But this character, to me, what I can't get past with Phil Bauer.
Phil.
You know, I mean, he was a bad dude.
He was
a bad dude. You didn't really see it coming until, I don't know, a quarter of the way in, half the way in the episode, or the series, excuse me. What I can't get past is that day six, to me, is sort of really when you notice that the series was in a nosedive.
True.
And I have a real hard time getting past that. So no matter how strong a character Phil Bauer ended up being, he wasn't worse than President Logan on a number of different counts. Right. And for me, just the fact that he took part in such a bad season really gives him some negative credit.
That's true. I mean, he didn't have the best of writers to work with.
Yeah.
They try to pull out all the stops, I think, when they started to lose some steam. So they try to bring in Cromwell, good actor, and try to rescue it with, oh, yeah, by the way, Jack has a dad, and his dad is Philip Bauer, and he's involved.
He's a bad guy.
And, yeah, he's a bad guy. I think it was the ultimate, you know, the plot twist, right? But
it makes sense if you really think about it. Oh, let's bring Jack Bauer's dad in here, and he's completely opposite. He's evil.
Starring James Cromwell, right? It's really the same sequence of events that led to Freddie Prinze Jr. being in the last.
I feel like if they recasted that right now, somehow, some way, they would find a way to make Christopher Walken Philip Bauer instead of Cromwell, just because I just feel like that's what they would recast if Cromwell wasn't available.
I'll build on that, and I'll say they would have been smart to put Walken in there, not because they were trying to have people take it seriously, but because at that point, surely by that point, the writers, everyone associated with this project, needed to be horribly self-aware that people were bailing on this show left and right. Oh, there's a mole. Oh, it's the same plot. Oh, they don't trust Jack. At this point, to put Walken in there, at least it gives people some comic relief and a reason to watch other than the show taking it seriously.
It's a wild card, and they could have thrown that in the, you know, when they show the names of the cast members at the beginning of the show, and they could put Walken last and say
Christopher Walken
and special guest star Christopher Walken. They don't bust that out for just anybody.
Yeah.
So I think they did that for John Voight. They busted out the special guest appearance by John Voight. They could have done that for
Walken. Which was also a strong play.
Yeah. I mean, his agent probably would have negotiated for that, surely, but.
Okay, but so President Logan's the winner for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
I think that's clear-cut.
I mean, yeah, Philip Bauer might have been the weakest name on this list just because he didn't have much of a screen time, and because, like you guys said, I mean, it was the beginning of the end as far as the show going a bit downhill and a bit south of its heyday.
Yeah, good acting. Yeah. A fair effort with it, but Logan wins, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the show was still popular. They had money to throw around, and the writing was getting weaker. So, at least there was a boon there with him. But let's go, Phil. Let's go with Charles Logan.
Charles Logan just had his hands in so many different plot lines, and was able to destroy those plots. Like we saw at the end of day eight, was able to just destroy credibility and integrity by being involved. I would want to say he's the lovable loser, but he's really just the loser.
Yeah, I mean,
he's just a bad loser who soured everything he touched.
Like, I think his name just fails to come to my attention. The actor who played Logan,
Gregory Itzen, I believe his name is.
Did a great job. I mean, people hated him so much. I hate him.
He won awards, I believe.
He was really good.
Yeah, he did a great job. So he's moving on. What do we got next?
All right, 4-5. We're going number 4. Ira Gaines.
Oh.
Ira Gaines, this dude.
Day one. Way back.
Throwing it back. He's a merc, a Navy SEAL, and he wants revenge. He blames Palmer, and he was through with the Operation Nightfall. He was mixed up in that, and he wants revenge on Palmer and Bauer. He was in bed with the Drazins, and part of his plots were to kidnap Terry and Kim Bauer.
Ooh.
And if you recall, he kidnapped them to force Jack to help him. If you recall, he took Terry and Kim to that compound.
Yeah, that's right.
In a little bar there, and there was a possible rape plan going on there. They were treading water there on that.
Let's talk about the Ira Gaines plot here. Yeah. All right, can we please talk about this?
Please do.
All right. So Ira Gaines involved in day one. He was he had the phone on the other end of the earpiece in Jack's ear.
Yeah.
So he was sort of directing him. Directing Jack Bauer as to what he was supposed to do in order to go about getting his family back.
Yes.
You know, the ultimate move against Jack Bauer. The only thing you can do to get leverage to do something to the family.
Do it for your wife and daughter.
So they get these two dudes to basically...
two dudes.
They're out with Kim and a friend at a furniture store getting loaded, having sex. One of the parents found a condom. All right, this is serious stuff. At least in the early 2000s.
Use a protection.
They didn't do that much on television.
This is serious stuff here. They get drunk. They're in the furniture store. It all goes to pot, no pun intended.
Or pun intended.
Before you know it, Terry, Kim, they end up in a barn where there's hay.
Love that setting. The hay bales.
Bales. They're locked in this barn, which it looks like they could have coughed and blown the thing over. Yeah. She has the flip phone.
Oh, yeah.
The flip phone that she somehow manages to get a signal in the middle of nowhere. This is before 4G.
Yeah.
LTE.
There weren't cell towers everywhere.
No. Somehow she finds the right spot in the room to get the coverage, to put the phone atop the pillar. Yeah. Or whatever, the cross beam in the barn.
Yep.
And that's how she alerts the authorities that she's somehow been taken captive.
It's the wife of Jack Bauer. She knows what to do.
Ira Gaines, an effective leader or not, because it felt like that plot came unraveled pretty quickly.
They were finding their way, I think, with him. And I think that, I don't know, it was a solid effort. I don't know. I mean, he was initially responsible, right, for the attempted assassination of Palmer. So that, I guess at the time, was pretty crazy. And the fact that, you know, Terry Bauer was sexually assaulted. Let's be serious about that.
Well,
went after Kim.
They're going
after
Kim, and she took one for the team, as any loving mother would.
It was
talk
about crazy for television. That was pretty crazy.
That was a tense moment. You don't see too many attempted rapes on network television.
Just messed up after kind of watching that.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable.
It was really weird. But I don't know. I don't think Ira Gaines was one of the strongest characters, in my opinion.
Okay. Who is his competition here in this first round matchup?
Competition is Jonas Hodges.
John Voight
himself.
How about that?
Starkwood Man.
Ooh.
Everybody loves Starkwood.
Great name.
Is that Halliburton?
Yeah.
Is that exactly? Halliburton?
That's the parallel, pretty
much. Exactly.
Involved the biological weapons, organized the raid on the White House. President Taylor.
That was pretty epic. Yeah. Let's talk about
crazy
television.
It was a good start to the season.
I forget what happened.
It was absurd, but they stormed the White House and took hostages. They broke into the White House, which I don't know how the hell that would even happen. Let's be serious. Aren't there snipers on the roof? They're monitoring.
Have you not
all
seen
times.
White House Down?
I have not.
At this point, no.
White House Down showed it how it was possible here, for sure.
Is that the one with Jamie Foxx as the president, or is that the other one where it has...
that came out 3 months prior?
Movies always come out in pairs, right?
White House Down was the one with Channing Tatum.
Jamie
Foxx. Yeah. Yeah.
Then there was the other one with Gerard Butler.
Yeah. So that was the less serious of the two.
The one with Gerard Butler was unlike any movie I think I've ever seen. What's the name of that movie? I can't think of it.
Oh.
It was...
So White House Down was Tatum.
It's basically...
Olympus Has Fallen,
that's it. It was basically a bunch of Asian guys running around stabbing people in the neck. The first 20 minutes of Olympus Has Fallen, it was all blood and guts. And bad blood and guts.
Like
no
kind of
reason
movie.
To watch the movie. But they proved that the defense is say what you want. We're going to hijack a helicopter and we're going to fly around the top and just shoot 25 millimeter bullets into the side of the White House, and that's all it takes.
So they had, in that movie, wasn't Morgan Freeman the president?
Morgan Freeman was also involved in that movie, yeah.
Yeah, and Two-Face was in that too, wasn't he? Aaron Eckhart or somebody?
Eckhart,
was in that. I don't know. I didn't see it, but I would watch it.
He was the president kind of in there that I believe had fallen.
Oh, okay.
Freeman was like vice president or speaker of the House or something like that.
Okay. I have not seen it, so.
Okay. So it's possible is what we're saying here.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Jonas Hodges, John Voight, Day 7.
He sent the Candyman in.
Yeah.
Tony Todd.
Yeah. He sent the Candyman in to bust up the White House. His main plan, which was actually not a bad plan at all, he wanted to oversee security of the U.S., after this supposed biological weapon was unleashed.
Okay, so this was a Peter Kingsley type of scenario where there's going to be a war perhaps incited in the Middle East, and we're going to benefit financially because of, in Peter Kingsley's case, it was the oil. But now in John Voight or what's his name here? I keep missing it here. Jonas Hodges. In his case, it's going to be the need for greater security.
We just got a biological weapon dropped on us. We can't protect our country. Let Starkwood do it. We have the power. We have the technology. We have the money.
Okay.
Let's get this thing right. And so Jonas Hodges, and I just wanted to talk about John Voight now. Is he like a quarter reptile? Is he cold-blooded?
He does look like a lizard. He just looks like a lizard to me. He actually liked him as this casting. I think he was a good actor. Obviously, it was a huge get for them, right? Especially by this point where we started to say some of the plots were dragging on slightly. I actually like the plot of this. It's kind of interesting. Plays to some of the real-world stories that go on about the conspiracies around, you know, private industry trying to start a war so they can benefit monetarily. I actually think he was a pretty strong character.
Yeah, he was very smart in the fact that he gave the blueprints to Juba to go through to the White House, and at some point Juba was at a standstill. He needed codes. The security system needed to be overridden, and he called up Jonas, and Jonas was like, "Oh, you're on your own, buddy. Look, I told you how to get in. I'm washing my hands of this thing now. It's not part of my plan," because he had this plan down to the T of, "This cannot be traced back to me. I'm not going to be giving you information while you're inside there. You're on your own. Stop calling me."
All right. So I'm going Ira Gaines here. John Voight, a good character. I like the plot line involving Jonas Hodges. However, Ira Gaines he was a trendsetter.
And it's classic.
He didn't get the job done. But again, for me, like, I feel like you guys might be a little too gung-ho on the bigger name actors.
Yeah,
who played the villains. For me, my tendency is probably to lean more on the side of the early villains because it was still original then. Ira Gaines was a trendsetter. Former Navy SEAL. Turning against his country because of Operation Nightfall.
Mercenary.
I'm going Ira Gaines. Also, lest we forget,
D. Gibbons.
D. Gibbons from another favorite, Flash Forward, a show Drew is still recovering
because
from.
Because I was loaded, okay?
We got to go Ira Gaines.
He's a bad, bad man.
Ira Gaines. Yeah.
Yeah, going Ira Gaines, I think you're right. I think John Voight is a get, just like Cromwell before him. And then guys like Freddie Prinze Jr. in season 8. It's like they started throwing a little bit more money around just because they knew what they had was a little bit weaker.
He may have paved the way for Freddie Prinze Jr.
FPJ, definitely.
That, by any stretch of the imagination, needs to be negative.
I mean, I guess Ira Gaines does have a master's of chemical engineering and ballistics from MIT, so I guess I'll pick Gaines. I didn't really like him, but you're right. I'm looking
forward. You shouldn't like any of these guys, Drew.
I'm looking forward to the series, and I'm biased towards some of the bigger name actors, but you're right. It was a trendsetter. It was one of the original villains with a fresh plot. I agree. You're right.
All right. 3 seed versus the 6 seed.
All right, the 3 seed, we got season 7, Alan Wilson. Now, Wilson was involved all the way back through season 5 with the Centaux nerve gas and the assassination of David Palmer, but he's kind of off-screen. He was on the phone a lot. So he was a conspirator to the Centaux nerve gas. And he was also a leader of the Prion Variant Cabal.
What the hell is that?
The Cabal was used to use weapons of mass destruction
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So they wanted to use, pretty much they wanted to drop on WMDs secretly, sponsoring U.S. terrorist attacks in their home nation.
Ah.
So this guy's basically a truther's wet dream. This is the guy that's behind the scenes that is dropping these terrorist attacks on our home soil.
So this guy is like, he is the reason InfoWars exists.
Yes. Basically. Yeah.
Also former football coach.
Absolutely.
The Titans. Yeah. So there's that.
Former
bonus
racist.
Points.
Former racist, now reformed.
Okay. So these prions that we sort of alluded to, the bioweapon outlawed by the United Nations, developed with the help of Starkwood executive Jonas Hodges, who just suffered defeat to One Eye Regains.
So he was a step up for Mr. John Voight there.
Okay.
Also, a little backstory, which brought along season 7 with the Tony Almeida aspect of it.
Yeah.
He was responsible for Michelle Desler's death. So Tony Almeida was working for Alan Wilson, but he was secretly, you know, got in bed with him there to get close to him to eventually take him out.
Huh.
And as we remember, the whole strapping Jack with a S bomb,
right,
to try to take
the
him
inside,
out.
Man.
Logical course of action.
Right. So, so this is Tony's enemy number one, pretty much. So
Alan Wilson.
Yeah. So any enemy of Tony Almeida is an enemy of mine.
Okay. Alan Wilson's the number 3. I see listed here. Number 6 is Christopher Henderson.
Yes. It is RoboCop. That's true.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say that's RoboCop.
RoboCop is at number 6. Christopher Henderson. Henderson had some ties to CTU way back when. He recruited Jack into CTU, that we found out. He also worked with Logan and Wilson in the Centox nerve gas situation. Sold it to Bierko. He also, one of the plot points of the season was he refused to talk to Jack, his plot, even as Jack shot his wife in the kneecap. He would not be having any
That's
of that.
That's a badass.
Yeah. So he was in the same room as Jack, just point blank, shot his wife in the kneecap, asking for information, and Henderson just stone cold, did not care, because he knew Jack wasn't going to take it any further. Almeida, he was, you know, partially responsible for the death of Michelle Desler in season 5. So Almeida went in there. They had Henderson tied up, and they were putting him up with hypoxine pentothal. And
was Richards involved?
Yeah. Almeida's plan was to shoot him up with an overdose to kill him, cause a seizure and kill him as he was in the hospital bed in CTU. But that plan was foiled, and Henderson eventually put it on him. And at the time, we thought Tony Almeida was dead.
That's right. That's
so
right. Ultimately, Henderson killed by Bauer.
Yes.
Killed pretty much for his part in the deaths of David Palmer.
Yep.
Michelle Desler. And the apparent, I stress, apparent death.
Apparent death.
Of one Tony Almeida at the end of the day. Another guy who had his hand in a lot, you know. While Alan Wilson may have been a step above Jonas Hodges, it is worth noting that Christopher Henderson, former director of field operations, so sort of like a dirty agent,
yeah,
may not have had the vision of an Alan Wilson.
No.
But certainly had his hands in a lot of really shady business, was hired by Graham Bauer and President Logan, worked with them. Worked with Alan Wilson.
Yeah.
This is a bad dude here.
He associated himself with a lot of bad seeds. He really did.
This is a bad dude.
He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I don't know.
Another strike. That's strike 3.
I go Christopher Henderson here.
Yeah. He plays a dirty cop in Sons of Anarchy, too. So I feel like I can't see him.
He's
as
one
a
of
good
those. He's one of those guys where he'll show up at a lot of shows and you're like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. And you really.
Yeah.
You know,
I pick Henderson myself. I think letting your wife get shot in the kneecap. Yeah. That shows how diabolical you really are.
That was a powerful scene, and he had more action and screen time than Alan Wilson.
He did. You know, the other thing I'd point out here, guys, you know, we just got done doing a podcast last episode where we talked about Syed Ali. Yeah. When Syed Ali was presented with the possibility of having his family shot, he caved like a cheap house at cards.
That's a perfect example.
All right. In this case, Christopher Henderson was like, shoot the bitch.
He knew his enemy. He knew that Jack wasn't going to take it further, and Jack had nothing on him at the time. So, tight lips.
The picture of his
suck
death
it up,
is,
wife.
The picture of his death on the 24 wiki is pretty epic. He's got blood just running out of his mouth.
How did he die again? Cause of death?
He was shot and killed by Jack.
Time of day?
At 5 to 6 a.m. But he's the picture is pretty epic.
It's pretty graphic, actually.
I encourage you all to go look at it.
We probably shouldn't make that the cover art.
I don't want to scare
for this
anybody.
Episode. It's a little bit graphic for the week of heart listening to the Bauer Hour podcast. All right, so we've got Christopher Henderson. A bit of a mild upset over
slight
the three
upset.
Seed. Of course, Alan Wilson. That brings us to the bottom of the bracket now. We already discussed before, Nina Myers is the number two seed.
Number two seed, Nina Myers.
I'm just going to go on record here. We're all friends. This is a matchup that I'm very conflicted on. I cannot believe the number seven seed is a number seven seed.
I stacked the deck. I stacked the deck.
I take issue with that, too.
I stacked the deck to make this brutal matchup.
This is brutal.
Yeah.
So, first of all, let's hit on Nina Myers. Nina Myers was like a mole whore, pretty much. I mean, she was in bed,
literally.
Figuratively and possibly literally,
yeah,
with multiple parties.
Jack and Tony.
Was it ever established if she was banging Almeida?
Yeah, they were together.
I mean, it was season one. I mean, I believe her and Jack had the affair prior to season one, if I remember correctly, right? I mean, there was sexual tension all throughout their screen time.
They had dated previously.
Yeah,
an affair.
But it wasn't during. It was previously, yeah, because Jack was with his wife.
That's why
at the
his
point.
Wife was scarred about it.
Yeah,
right.
So she was. Yeah, I believe they were an item. She was officially an item with Tony, or at least they were seeing each other, and it was known.
Jack had a thing for the short hair.
Yeah.
At least in the early goings.
I'd take Nina over Terry, though.
See, we're going to have that tournament at some point.
Wags.
Where we talk about the Jack Bauer wags.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
So Nina Myers, at least in this portrayal, we're talking about her as a villain.
Yeah, she sold secrets to everyone. I mean, she was for sale, whore, mole whore. I don't mean in a sexual sense. I mean, she got what she needed to do.
She used all the tricks.
All the tricks.
In her
toolbox. And she was sexy. I mean, she had this Linda Hamilton Sigourney Weaver kind of... I mean, she wasn't completely feminine, but she was, like, so powerful, it was kind of sexy in a way.
Fun fact, the actress is actually married to George Mason
really?
In real life. I think so.
Xander Berkeley?
Yeah.
Xander Berkeley.
Xander Berkeley and I don't remember her name, but they're married in real life, I think.
So yeah, affairs with Jack and Tony. I mean, imagine the conversations Jack and Tony had, you know, trading secrets. She was a whore for immunity. Immunity? Maybe.
Immunity?
I don't know. She, multiple cases of immunity because she had all the information. I mean, she was set free and exiled to Africa or wherever the hell multiple times. And one of my favorite scenes of her was when she outbid the Salazars for the Cordoba virus.
Yeah. They pulled her out of nowhere there.
A total power play there.
Yeah. Total power play. Yeah.
And she actually got them both killed. You know,
yeah.
She won the bidding and got them both killed. I mean, it was a pretty good play.
Always in it for herself and no one else.
Yeah.
Multilingual in English, Serbian, German, and Arabic.
Wow.
That's skills.
I mean, she is a
skills.
True badass.
Yeah, Nina Myers as a two is a strong two. Yeah.
I agree with her being a two.
That's a strong two. I get it. What I don't get, though, is the seven here.
Well, I just wanted to set it up because I wanted to have this conversation. Number seven, Sherry effing Palmer.
A seven.
Sherry Palmer. Sherry effing Palmer. Rap sheet on Sherry Palmer. I mean, we all know it.
Speaks for itself.
Constantly lied to her husband. Tried to get him... So she tried to set him up. Remember when she tried to set him up with the affair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Season one, when she was running for the presidency.
Let me ask you a question. What was their first date like? Did they fall... Like, how did he fall in love with her? Like, did she hide the fact that she was this conniving snake entire time?
She was good.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Drew. My thought is that they probably met at a different point in time when politics were not in the equation.
Yeah.
And just like money ruins people.
She got power drunk.
I think the power ruined her.
Yeah.
I think the fact that she could be first lady, she saw herself clearly as the one wearing the pants in the relationship. She wanted to be the one in charge. She wanted to be the one in power. And she probably is the type who should have just stayed single. You know, she was not very good at the give and take. It was all take, take, take for Sherry Palmer. Ultimately, that was her undoing. That was what sprung her loose of David Palmer, or I should say what David Palmer saw in her and sprung himself loose of that tyranny. Sherry Palmer was a bad person at the end of the day.
She was awful.
I mean, she could have, you know, she could have gone into politics for herself. I mean, she could have had a higher office. Yeah, she would have been great. I mean, she actually played Condoleezza Rice in a...
Really? That's a good play.
Yeah, in a 9/11 inspired movie.
Oh, really? So, I had no idea.
So, yeah, I mean, she tried to get David to play dirty. David wasn't having it. And like you said, I mean, how did they end up together when David is so true to his word and true to his thoughts, and Sherry is just the complete opposite?
Sherry just going with whatever gets her more power and puts her in greater demand. She was another one, kind of like Logan.
Yeah.
In many ways, she was stronger than Logan ever was. But, you know, she's like the black female Logan, where everything she touched sort of turned to stone. It never worked out. But at the end of the day, Sherry Palmer, she knew how to play those angles.
Absolutely.
You know, she had a lot of like Dmitry Gradenko in her. She knew how to play those angles politically.
I'll tell you, so all of this is just dirty play. And all of this is just, you know, she's a bad person, yeah, but she's not really breaking the law. And then Alan Milligan comes along, tries to blackmail David Palmer.
Poor guy in a wheelchair, man.
Day three. This bitch kills wheelchair-bound Alan Milligan in front of his wife, who's conflicted at the time.
Yeah.
What kind of person? I mean, yeah, your husband's getting blackmailed, who is the president. But murder of your husband's once great friend, gave millions of dollars to his campaign, got a little dirt and wanted Wayne Palmer out of the running there, out of the party. Let's just kill him. Let's just kill him.
That's cold.
And his wife just sitting there watching.
That's cold.
Yeah. It's cold. Wow. And her death actually was one of the more shocking scenes. I mean, didn't really see it coming at the time. Alan Milligan's wife eventually shot and killed her.
Although, I mean, let's not paint Milligan as a nice person here.
No, I mean,
he killed somebody. Like,
pump the brakes.
He pulled a Dante Stallworth and he hit somebody and killed them. It was Kevin Kelly's daughter, and hit and run. And then he paid him off, you know, to keep him from testifying. So I'm not going to be too upset about his death.
Everybody in this game is dirty except for David Palmer, so we all have skeletons. All right,
Sherry Palmer, though, as a seventh seed, I do take issue with it, though I do understand why you did it. Sherry Palmer was so vindictive and very Logan-like from the standpoint of just quietly a villain. You know, had her hands in a lot of dirty things. Nina Myers, though, for my money, was really the ultimate villain in the series. Maybe even, if she makes it as far as Habib Marwan.
Yeah.
Maybe even greater than Habib Marwan. Her ability to lie, yeah. Her ability to manipulate directly Jack. Jack never trusted Sherry Palmer.
No, he knew from the beginning.
He knew from the get-go that Sherry Palmer was bad news. But Nina Myers, even when he knew Nina Myers was bad, he still couldn't believe it. Remember, in day one, very early on in day one, Jack had her dead to rights. He knew.
Right.
He saw through their, you know, ways that Nina Myers was bad.
Right.
He didn't believe it. She was able to pass it off. For me, the ability to con Jack Bauer puts Nina Myers through very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, Nina Myers was not transparent at all. So, I mean, that's part of her charm. I mean, that's part of her, that's one of her highest skills is the art of deception. I don't know, Drew, what do you say as far as
Nina
this
Myers,
matchup?
Although, like Ty said, I take issue with the seeding. I understand why you did it, but I think Sherry Palmer would have made it further. Maybe we would have had this matchup a little further down the line. I'm not disagreeing completely, with why you did it. It's a good conversation, just in case they didn't make it for a head-to-head matchup. But I think Nina Myers does make it further than Sherry Palmer.
You see, I
vote Nina.
See, you guys had Nina Myers going, and that's fine. I kind of had them going a little bit further. I kind of had Sherry going a little bit further. I feel like Sherry was a little bit stronger than Nina. I know Nina was the tried and true, the ultimate mole villain, but just like you just put their pictures up and you look at them. You look at Nina Myers and you look at Sherry Palmer,
Penny Johnson Gerald.
You look at Penny Jones. You're like, oh, bitch. Oh God. And that's what would make me choose Sherry Palmer. But yeah, majority wins. And we're gonna go Nina Myers.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I hate Sherry Palmer with every fiber of my being. I mean, she's one of the worst people I've ever seen on this show. She's the female equivalent of Charles Logan, as you alluded to.
That's a good comparison.
Did you ever find yourself sympathizing a little bit with Sherry Palmer though?
Like she had she missed her husband a little too much.
Like she was so much of a loser, and towards the end, so much just starved for attention.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she was the first lady.
Remember when they brought her in as like a special consultant? Yeah. And everyone's like, whoa.
After they were divorced.
Wait a second. Remember that? And David Palmer came in and said, this is good work, Sherry. You know, use your connections to better the situation. I found myself for a split second sort of wanting to trust her.
She should have branched out on her own, really. I mean, she threw her life away, and she could have accomplished something more than playing this dirty game.
The saddest thing in life is wasted talent. Yeah.
My favorite quote was from when David, when he said right to her face, you're not a member of my staff, you're not a government employee, and you're not my wife.
That's pretty epic. That was ballsy.
It was ballsy. I appreciate it, though. I'm glad he said it, because she sucked.
Now, before we move on, just one more bit about Sherry Palmer, Penny Johnson Gerald. At the bottom of her wiki page for Sherry Palmer, when it outlines her death being shot by Alan Milligan's wife, she said that, I don't know if you've seen this, she said that after she was shot, it was her decision, not the writer's, to take a couple of breaths before they cut away, just so she left the possibility for the writers to bring her back in further seasons if they wanted to.
Well, see, now this is something that could potentially swing the vote here.
So that is method acting, real life.
See, here's the thing, and we've discussed this a little bit, but towards the end of the show, they knew that the plots were running a bit dry.
Yeah.
And so they needed to leave the door open for a lot of these characters.
Why not leave yourself an out?
You know, right. Heller's going to drive off the cliff anyway.
Yeah, right.
But let's make him land in water.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case we want to bring him back and, you know, make him president in 2014. Right. Let's have him land in a lake as opposed to a fiery crash off a cliff. I mean, sound good to you? Yup.
I mean, how many car crashes in movies and television end in fire?
It explodes.
All of them? Except for James Heller's?
He had airbags. It's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
So I admire her understanding of the situation here, her knowing that at some point probably gonna need work.
Yeah, it was not very confident of her in her acting. I don't know if her acting skills to, like, maybe, you know, down the line, maybe,
yeah,
I might need some work. It's not looking good for me after this. I know I'm dying, and take a couple breaths.
But bonus points for that, I still go Nina Myers, though. She was pure evil.
I pick her as well.
Yeah, I mean, Penny Johnson Gerald, I mean, that was on the 24 wiki. I don't even know if that's cited, but I like to think that's a true story.
Okay.
Either way, interesting tidbit.
All right. Let's go back to the top of the bracket.
So we got Nina Myers.
Moving on.
So back to Charles Logan, one seed versus the four seed, Ira Gaines.
Hmm. I want to – okay, we can talk about this. I still don't think that, you know, Ira Gaines is the strongest. I think he's a trendsetter, and I think he's good. But I think Logan wins in this one only because of the fact that he spans, obviously, more seasons, has his hand in more plots, is all around probably a more terrible person and terrible decision maker.
Yeah. A far weaker leader, and because of that, ultimately a more destructive one.
Yeah.
He had his hands in so many things that went awry that he was sort of like a virus.
Can I,
to quote Agent Smith,
can I please direct you to Charles Logan's wiki, 24 wiki? They have outlined controversial decisions by Charles Logan, if you'll indulge me for a minute.
Wow. I'm going to stand up for this one.
Yeah. Allowed a former president, David Palmer, to take over command of a national security crisis. Refused to have Joe Prado tortured, even though he was the only lead to the terrorists. Ordered the arrest of Jack Bauer, which enabled Habib Marwan to escape CTU. Kept silent about the government's involvement in the raid of the Chinese consulate. Allowed Walt Cummings to send Dave Spalding to kill Jack Bauer.
Dave Spalding.
Refused to allow Russian President Yuri Surov's helicopter land in a different location despite chatter of an attack. Signed an anti-terrorism treaty, even though the terrorists threatened to kill hostages if he signed it.
That's just reckless.
Performed the release... Permitted the release of Centox nerve gas in the Sunrise Hill shopping mall.
Well, you know, it must have been Black Friday.
That was with Gael, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gael, yep.
Yeah.
Gave Surov's motorcade route to terrorist Vladimir Bierko.
He demanded it.
Complicit in the Department of Homeland Security's absorption of CTU. Ordered martial law instituted in Los Angeles metropolitan area without approval of Congress. Executed the arrest of Jack Bauer for assassination of David Palmer using fabricated evidence to back it up.
What do you think his approval ratings were?
Oh, they loved him.
They loved him, yeah.
Sold 10 tox nerve gas to terrorists. This is all before day 5, by the way.
Wow.
Deliberately concealed Russia's involvement in the murder of President Omar Hassan. Sent Jason Pillar to operate CTU in order to track down and kill Jack Bauer. Blackmailed President Yuri Surov and his conspirators in order to gain position of advantage within Alison Taylor's administration, and he murdered Jason Pillar and attempted suicide before giving up Jack Bauer's location and refusing to call off the hit on him in day 8. End of the terrible reign of President
Charles Logan's moving on over Ira Gaines.
I mean, that's a hefty list right there.
We're in agreement here, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So that brings us to the bottom half of the bracket then. Between Nina Myers, a very strong number 2, and I can see how this is setting up already. Yeah. This is gonna haunt my dreams.
This is gonna be a tough one. I mean,
so Nina Myers against number 6, Christopher Henderson, who won in upset fashion over Alan Wilson.
It was a good run for Henderson, but
I think our time would be better spent to debate the merits of one President Charles Logan versus Dirty Agent Nina Myers.
Yeah. Or Agent Nina Myers.
Wow. This is going to be really tough for me. I got to be honest.
Where to begin?
I'm torn on this, but honestly, I want to say Logan. I think ultimately I pick Logan only because he's, again, we said it before, he spans the seasons. He's so responsible for all the like death and destruction, and he's complicit in all of it.
Countless bad decisions, whether he had ruthless intentions or not, he's just a poor decision maker.
Yeah, it's hard though, because I can't ultimately say, oh yeah, he wins, you know, hands down. I think it's a very tough choice, but I give the edge to Logan here.
Bad husband too.
Bad, very bad husband. You know, I'm gonna break this down the way we broke down things in the foreign bracket. You know, Logan was an elected official. We don't know ultimately how dirty many of our elected officials are.
Yeah.
We don't know how much stuff any of our elected officials are not telling us.
Right.
We happen to be, we had a portal into that world through the lens of 24. However, ultimately, we don't know what's out there. You know, we didn't know about the NSA until folks started chirping.
Eddie Snowden.
Right. So I think from that standpoint, it probably takes a little bit of the luster off Charles Logan. Because maybe he wasn't doing as much underhandedly as we initially thought.
I mean, yeah, a lot of it was bad decisions. And, I mean, we compare every 24 president to David Palmer, and that's not fair because he was the saintly figure of all presidents.
George Washington.
Yeah. So Logan started off on rocky ground, and it just snowballed from there.
Nina Myers is also a female.
Right.
Also a female. And I think at that point in drama television history, not a whole lot of female villains.
Like masterminds.
You know, a mastermind. She really had planned this whole thing out. I never fully understood her motivation.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know if that was... I mean, that was definitely not clearly stated. I mean, I think that she was just a greedy person. She was willing to do whatever it took, and maybe she was a bit power hungry. Maybe she liked the thrill of it. Maybe it was more of a deep seated evil, more than just a flat out plot.
I never got why she was in bed with the bad guys. She very clearly was. She very clearly was playing the long con too. You know, we talked about Habib Marwan on the last episode, and he's another guy who was really in it to win it over the long haul. I feel like I go Nina Myers here just because I am very clear as to, though I didn't know what her motivations were, I was clear that she had a plan for each scenario to not only win, but also get herself out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that to me is something I value more than Logan, who just sort of stumbled through his presidency, turned a lot of things to stone along the way, but maybe didn't have that nefarious plan in the end.
Yeah. I think he's definitely weaker than Nina Myers. Like, as we touched on when we first broke down Logan versus Philip Bauer, he was a weak man. And that may have been a lot of the reasons for, you know, his character has been shown through the whole entire series, is just him just trying to prove himself to himself and to everyone else that he is this strong man, and in actuality, he has no idea what he's doing.
Sort of a Napoleon complex of sorts.
I want to prove you right, Ty, because on the 24 wiki, it says, seeing as John Keeler ran against David Palmer, who was a Democrat for presidency, it is likely that Keeler and his vice president, Logan, were Republicans. So we talked about that earlier.
He's the antithesis of David Palmer.
And actually, the second plot point about him is, it says, Logan bears similarities to President Richard Nixon. He resembles him physically, and they share mannerisms. Mm. Both were complicit in major scandals and left office without completing their terms. So your suspicions were right.
Yeah, for me, it goes to Nina Myers because she had the plan, because I felt like she was stronger. And it really is a matter of purposeful evil versus inadvertent evil. In what we saw with Charles Logan.
I'm going to make the decision hard for you because I'm picking
point.
Logan.
You're so going Logan.
You be the tiebreaker. Now, I just think that he was responsible for too much. Whether it was his fault, intention or not, I'm picking him, even though it was a hard choice.
If I could ask you, what is your number one reason why?
Logan. I mean, just the fact that he couldn't make a decision. He was terrible. If I go down the list of stuff, I mean, he was held on trial, right? And it was behind closed doors. He got away with everything.
He did get away with everything.
I think he kind of knew what he was doing. And I mean, the fact is, even Renee Walker says that Tony's wife was brutally murdered as a result of a conspiracy involving the president. And it's, I don't know, I put him on there. He was, you know, trying to get the Yuri Suvorov killed, sort of, even though he wound up being bad. But Logan's also, he killed his executive assistant, Jason Piller. I don't know, the rap sheet for him is bad for me. Though, let's not sell Nina Myers short. She was trying to do a lot of bad things, too.
Right. All right, so listening to both your arguments.
Make it tough for you.
Yeah, and when I first compiled the list, and when I glanced at the list.
Yeah.
My first inclination would be Dodge. It's Charles Logan. I mean, he's since the end of season 3. I mean, he's just been one thing after another. But Ty, your argument kind of did sway me a little bit. I mean, I feel like the Logan's Napoleon complex. Now he's kind of turns into a sympathetic figure in a way. I still think he's a dirty weasel.
You sort of felt badly for him at points in the show, and it was because you knew This was one of the few things that the writers did well down the stretch. You know, they were able to preserve that sort of sympathetic character that Logan turned into. They were able to still make you feel sorry for him, despite the fact that he was screwing everything up.
Yeah, he didn't really know what he was doing.
At the end of day 8, when he was trying to facilitate peace, all right, he essentially ruined the integrity of Allison Taylor. The peace deal never happened. Because Logan knew things. Logan helped conspire to make bad things happen to Omar Hassan.
Yeah.
And that ultimately is what brought the peace deal down. He was just doing it because he wanted to feel loved.
Yeah, he did.
He wanted to feel loved.
Poor little guy.
The poor little guy, he kind of felt badly for him. And so he just did whatever he could to try and win that respect. Nina Myers was a different kind of evil. So for me, she gets the nod here. Logan was just, he was just a weasel.
A weasel, as we say. So, yeah, wasn't there a point, I think it was day four, where he actually brought David Palmer back in to help him make decisions? Because he didn't know what to do. Like, he couldn't make a decision early in his presidency. And it was sad, and it was pathetic, and it was weaselly.
There's also a part of me here that doesn't want to see him win anything.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with that.
So I'm real strong. Right. Yeah. Going with number two, Nina Myers.
Just one last fact for you. He's the only president to order the arrest of Jack Bauer on two occasions, day four and five.
He doubled up on the Jack Bauer arrest.
So you've got people over both shoulders here.
I love the whole martial law thing. I mean, Congress, you know, cares. Founding fathers wrote up this diamond, whatever.
Set the virus loose in a shopping mall.
Yeah, you know, screw those people. I want those terrorists say they're going to kill people if I sign this treaty. I'm going to sign this damn treaty. I'll negotiate with terrorists, except what I do.
So who are we going with here?
I'm going with Nina Myers.
There it is.
Because just simply for the fact, I don't truly think Charles Logan was evil. I think he was just very misunderstood and just bad at his job.
I'll go with that.
I can't disagree with you. I just, you know, personally, I would pick Logan. I think Nina Myers is a fine choice.
It's a tough matchup.
Well, how about this then, Drew, to sort of assuage your feelings? Who would pose a greater threat to Habib Marwan? I'm talking in terms of a better matchup now. Yeah. Nina Myers or Charles Logan? I feel like if you put Habib Marwan up against Charles Logan, it's pretty much no contest going to go to Habib Marwan. Yeah. However, Nina Myers at least makes you think. These are two villains on level footing. Yeah. Both had the long con in mind. Both had various tools at their disposal. Were moles at their workplace. Yeah.
Undercover work. Undercover work.
They're the same type of villain. You could argue that Habib Marwan was the male Nina Myers here.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say about that is I think Logan has more resources at his disposal. So he could give, you know, Habib a good fight. I mean, he's got, if he still has his ties to the presidential, power, I think he could give a good fight. I do think in a pure terrorist fight, I think Nina is probably the best, matchup if we're looking at pure terrorism to go against Habib. But secretly I could want Habib to win because he's my favorite. Right. So,
well, the thing is, like, Logan has so many opportunities to make so many terrible decisions and to foul so many things up.
He could mess it up.
He could mess everything up and to do what he wants, evil, treasonous or not, because he is the president. He has that power. So he has more opportunity to do as he damn well pleases, as opposed to Habib Marwan and Nina Myers.
I'm with you guys. I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you.
You're with me.
Yeah.
All right. So it comes down to Habib Marwan versus Nina Myers.
Championship match.
I will turn the tables a bit on you, Mr. Badway.
All right.
You were the one who presented this bracket to us. As we come now towards the end of this show, I will give you first dibs on who you're selecting.
All right. So, I mean, Habib Marwan obviously is a favorite of all of ours. I mean, first of all, Nina Myers, I mean, the name flows off the tongue, Nina Myers. Nina Myers, you say her name, you see her face immediately with her short brunette hair, black hair, and you want, your first inclination is just go with Habib Marwan because it's Habib Marwan. It's his name just rings true with you. But then we started getting into the aspect of Nina Myers that is very similar to Habib, like we say, like with the undercover work, with the long con, with she's smarter than most people in the room. I mean, there's possibility that, aside from Jack Bauer, Nina Myers could have everyone fooled and she'd still be roaming the streets. But having said that, I still think Habib Marwan is way too powerful. I feel like if Nina Myers had been playing Habib Marwan, like, not, if she had been conning him if she were alive in season four, I feel like Habib would have sniffed that out.
I'm going to give you a chicken or the egg question, okay?
Yeah.
So we all know that Habib Marwan was originally a terrorist, and he joined McLennan Forster just for the sake of acquiring, the funding and just becoming, invested in the company and becoming a mole so he could operate as a terrorist, right?
Yeah.
Was Nina Myers originally bad? Did she join CTU with the intention to become a mole, or was she turned because of, you know, monetary, you know, compensation?
These are questions that have never been asked.
This is what I've been wondering, you know, and I think that would depend, that would change my answer on who I picked. You know, if Nina Myers joined CTU with the whole purpose of doing all this destruction, I think she could edge Habib Marwan. You know, having said that, though, I personally like Habib Marwan. I just think he was pure evil. He knew what he was doing. Although, you know, you could argue that Nina Myers went against her own country.
She was definitely treasonous. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the treason aspect of it, I think, plays into it. Whereas Habib Marwan, you know, he believed that his cause was true. Nina was just kind of going to the highest bidder, right?
Yeah, I think Nina was... it's possible that she was just always in it for the money. It was always a money grab. And I feel like she was brought up through CTU. Her entire career was brought up through lies. I feel like she's always been a criminal. Maybe it started with stealing a candy bar here and there when you're 7 years old, and it goes all the way on up through her career. I don't think that she was turned by some unknown event prior to day one that turned her into Nina Myers, the evil mole.
I am really torn here, and that's an excellent point. I feel like Nina Myers was probably good at some point.
You think?
Over the span of her lifetime, something clearly happened to Nina that turned her. Now, she obviously had a seed of evil in her to turn as evil as she did.
Yeah.
That doesn't just happen overnight. We saw what happened with Tony Almeida, just to look at an example. Ultimately, was Tony Almeida really purely evil? No, Tony Almeida was a victim in essentially having his wife be killed. That is what turned him. Ultimately, he wasn't a bad guy. He was just very angry.
Yeah.
Nina Myers was a different breed
than
that, because something happened that turned her pure evil. That should not be overlooked. However, Habib Marwan, I just don't know if we have the data there.
No.
Do we know for certain he was always bad? You have to believe that when he was a young Marwan, perhaps
young Marwan,
he was not as evil as he ended up becoming.
A
but
little Habib.
He did show the wherewithal to move from Turkey to the United States to get that job, middle management job, under the name Harris Barnes, and become a middle manager with a long-term plan to try and do all these terrible things. I think I favor Habib Marwan, and here's why. There was one bullet in the chamber.
Okay.
There was one bullet in the chamber. It was always just this one plot to try and take things down.
Yeah.
Nina Myers, towards the end, she may have had a plan, and she may have been intentionally evil on several different fronts. However, there was a quality to her that was just flailing, and she was trying her best to catch on and get away and always get more money.
Yeah.
I don't think it was about the money for Marwan. There was something deeper there, and this was always the plot. He died thinking that damn plot worked.
He was trying to change the world.
He hated America.
From his standpoint, he won. He went out on top, and he couldn't have cared less if he died without a dollar to his name.
Right.
Habib Marwan is your winner here because he was evil to the core when he met his demise.
Strong statements from Ty.
I agree with you,
Drew.
Ty. Wholeheartedly.
The greatest name in the history of the show.
Habib Marwan.
I agree with you. I think every point you made was spot on. And the fact that he knew what he was doing from the beginning, he had a plan. He moved from Turkey, became a middle manager, you know, maybe went out to some happy hours, as Badway said, you know, but he played the part for as long as it took. And he was the mastermind behind this, you know, major, major terrorist plot. Whereas I think, like you were saying with Nina Myers, she was kind of floating around doing what was best for Nina. She didn't really ultimately have an evil plan to destroy the USA. It was just whoever was going to pay her, whatever she was going to do, she was going to do. So I think Habib wins.
Yeah, maybe Nina and Habib had the same internal makeup. It's just that Marwan had the patience and the vision to have that long-term goal that Nina never really had. And so she could, if she never had a goal to shoot for, but she had the smarts of Marwan, but she just couldn't execute a plan like Marwan did and thought he did.
Marwan's plan longer term, you know, that was that was a far deeper and more planned out plot than anything Nina Myers put together. So I think I got to go Marwan here.
That's it's unanimous. Habib Marwan, your national champion.
He wins the March Badness
2014.
Hailing from Turkey.
the Turkish nationals are so proud right now.
Hailing from Turkey, a.k.a. Harris Barnes. Habib Marwan, your champion.
Wow. Well, there you have it. March Badness. Let us know what you think. Habib Marwan is our champion. He's the worst villain in all 8 days of 24. Write in to BauerHourPod@gmail.com. Let us know what's on your mind. Also go to BauerHour.com. If you're at all interested in commenting, please do look us up on iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. If you give us a 5-star rating, if you give us a review at all, we'll give you a shout out here on the podcast. Also, we are on Twitter, BauerHourPod. And we're on Facebook. We're all over the place right now. Tell your friends, tell your family, hide your kids, hide your wife. We're coming to talk more 24 next time around. Do we have any parting shots here? Are you guys able to speak after that showdown at Sherwood, if you will, between Nina Myers and Habib Marwan?
Well, no. Well, first of all, I would like some feedback on what you guys think about the whole Sherry Palmer, Nina Myers, which was a very tough decision in and of itself, which could have swayed the entire bracket. So if we were way off on that, in your estimation, I'd surely love to hear some opinions on that.
You know, what's interesting about this, and I got to say, this probably says a lot about us, maybe more than we care to admit. You know, our first two shows have been very lighthearted, very serious. Yeah. And I feel like we came to a point in our last episode where it sort of turns serious.
Yeah. Stop messing around. This is the big time.
You know, we're not talking jokes anymore. Yeah. Serious. This is serious. We're talking bad guys here.
Right.
This is serious, and I feel like we treated it respectfully. No one can say that we took this and didn't take it seriously.
This is not a half-assed effort.
This is something that we care deeply about.
Right.
I agree. And if you're looking for memorabilia from our bracket here, if you go to goldencloset.com,
say that address again, please. What is that?
If you're looking for any memorabilia to remind yourself about the bracket that we just went through, you can yourself purchase Charles Logan's complete costume worn in season 8 for a low price of $450.
Oh, such a good
deal.
That's
a suit. I mean,
such a good deal.
If you go to Men's Warehouse,
does it say his size?
It doesn't say his size, but I'm willing to bet, you know, he's probably like a 40 regular, like a 30, 34 pant size.
Here's the thing about that. The people at goldencloset.com expect this person to buy the suit and probably put it in a glass casing and display it. I'll try to wear that damn thing.
If I'm paying $450, I'm putting it on.
I don't think they don't advertise the size because they probably don't expect you to go out and wear it. I'm wearing that thing. I'm going to a job interview.
Is there a way we can email them?
I'm going to find it. I'll look on their website.
Let's see if we can email it. And let's
you can add a comment. I can post on here now.
No, I want to email the seller directly. I want to know what kind of shape it's in. I want to know what the size is. And I want to know if it smells like a weasel.
Here's my question. If you're going to wear that, do you get it dry clean first?
Ooh.
Or do you just put it on?
I don't think you can ever clean it.
You get that Logan stank on it, man. That's what you do. Hey,
you wear that to a job interview is what you do.
The website says the garments are all in good screen-worn condition and accompanied by a letter of authenticity from the costume supervisor who worked on the series. Now that means it is, you know...
It's find that email address. We're going
to construct an email before we leave. And, I'm alarmed at the lack of Habib Marwan memorabilia on that website. At least give us the name tag, the Harrison Barnes name tag for McLennan Foster. If we could do that, please.
Can we get like black Hanes t-shirt worn by Habib Marwan?
Yeah. He's
a Hanes man.
Black.
You're Fruit of the Loom man. He's a Hanes man.
If you went into Habib Marwan's closet, he had like 15 black suits. His drawer had black underwear. His his other drawer had 15 black shirts.
Johnny Cash himself.
The man in black, Habib Marwan. Well, congratulations to Habib Marwan. If you're listening now, we'll send him this link.
Yeah.
You know, we'll find his manager and congratulate Arnold him on a job well done here. That does it for another rousing rendition of the Bauer Hour podcast. One more time, it's BauerHour.com. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course on iTunes, where you can go out and give us 5-star rating and a review. For that guy over there, we'll just call him Drew.
Habib Marwan.
For that guy over there, we'll call him Bad Way, the Bracketeer.
All hail the master Habib Marwan.
For Habib Marwan and, of course, Ryan Chappelle, for whom this show is dedicated, this has again been the Bauer Hour Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Beep, 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 beep.